Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Well, good morning. And I was just, I was listening to that song, that last song that we sang. It says, "We trust in our God. And through His unfailing love, we will not," what? "Be shaken." Do you guys think that that's an appropriate song for the time and the culture and society we're living in right now? That we can trust in God, we will not be shaken? Amen. This is why we're doing this sermon series called Wisdom Under Fire. We're doing this series because right now we are in a time where it is kind of crazy. It's a little rocky. It's uncertain. It's unknown. It's wild. It seems like the society and the culture is going increasingly more and more away from Christians' values, our morals, our beliefs. So how do we, as followers of Jesus, have wisdom in a culture that seems to be opposing and resisting who we are? So we've been doing this sermon series, Wisdom Under Fire. We kicked this series off about a couple weeks ago, talking about Daniel, the story in Daniel, how these guys had wisdom in their culture. And if you remember, Jim in week one kind of gave some context to this story of Daniel, where Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the four famous characters of the story of Daniel, were taken from their home in Jerusalem and uprooted and taken to the Babylonian culture, which was pagan. It was evil. It was corrupt. They were demon worshipers. It was a really, really bad place to be, especially as a Jew. They opposed God. They worshiped other gods. It was completely against what they believed. But here they are finding themselves in Babylon. So week two, Jim said, okay, well, what do we need to have in order to kind of get through this culture? He talked about determination. And in this story, we see that Daniel and his friends were determined to not do certain things and determined to do certain things. And as followers of Jesus living in a culture that we live in now, we have to be determined to live our lives according to how God has called us to live our lives, according to what He says in His Word. So in this series, as we talk about wisdom and how we have wisdom in this culture, we first have to say, okay, what do we mean by wisdom? Because it's really important to be able to identify, define what the word wisdom means. So here's been our working definition for wisdom. Wisdom is the quality of discerning what is true, what is ethically right, and what should be done in certain situations. So to have wisdom means we have to be able to discern what is true and what is right, but also what should be done in those certain situations. So here's where wisdom really takes on the form of action. To know something is true, to know something is right, is one thing. But to be able to actually do what is right, to do what is true, is wisdom. Wisdom takes action. There are lots of people who know something to be true, know something to be right, but don't do it. That's foolishness. So wisdom is to be able to say, this is what we need to do, this is what we have to get done, and this is how we're going to do it. This is wisdom. And so these guys came into this culture and they exercised wisdom amongst the crazy culture that they were in. So we want to take a look at their life and just go, okay, how do we apply that to our life today? So today we're going to be diving into kind of the second attribute we believe that we need to have wisdom in a crazy culture, and that's perseverance. So perseverance is a really, really important thing, and it's a little different than determination. When Jim talked about determination yesterday, it's I'm determined in this moment to do something. But perseverance is being able to be determined over time to continue to do the thing that we were once determined to do. So every time around this year, around the beginning of January, over 100 million U.S. adults make a New Year's resolution. That's 50%, over 50% of the U.S. population of adults will make a resolution saying, I am determined to go to the gym more. I'm determined to eat healthier. I'm determined to stop smoking. I'm determined to lose weight. I'm determined to work on my marriage. I'm determined to be a better person. I'm determined to be more patient, whatever that is. I'm determined right now on January 1st to do this thing. Do you know what percent of that over 100 million people make it past 2 months? Less than 10%. Less than 10% of the people who said, I am determined to do this thing, will actually make it past 2 months. See, being determined is a good thing. I think we need determination. We need to say, you know what, right now I'm determined to do this. But perseverance is being determined to continue to do the thing that you once said you would do or wouldn't do. Perseverance takes time. Perseverance takes consistency. And perseverance is hard. So, if we need to have perseverance in a culture that seems to be under fire against our culture, against our values, against our beliefs, where does that come from? How do we develop perseverance? How do we get perseverance in our life? Well, I'm going to warn you that the answer you might not like. You might not like where perseverance comes from, but before I tell you where it actually comes from, I want you to write something down on your notes. I want you to write it, maybe put it in your phone, tell the person you're sitting next to, as long as you know them, what you need to persevere in. So ask yourself this question: what area of my life do I need to persevere in? What area of my life do I need to persevere in? Maybe you're in a relationship that just isn't quite going the way that you want it to. Maybe in your marriage, you need to persevere in your marriage, or in your dating relationship, or you're engaged, or maybe it's a friendship. Maybe you're in a relationship and you're like, you know what, this has been really, really hard. Do you need to persevere there? Maybe you're a single person in the room. Maybe you're a young adult. You're maybe in high school. Maybe you're in your mid-20s, late 20s. Maybe you're in your 30s. Maybe you're just going, man, I'm still single, and that's frustrating to me. I haven't found that person that I want to know. Is there a person out there? I'm just ready to give up on relationships altogether because I just can't seem to figure this thing out. Maybe you need to persevere. Maybe you're dealing with a physical illness. They need to persevere and you need to continue to go through it. Maybe you're dealing with a mental illness. Maybe anxiety and depression has got you so overwhelmed that you're ready just to give up. And maybe you need to persevere. Maybe the state of where we're at right now as a country has gotten you so overwhelmed and so hopeless and helpless and fearful that you're ready just to move to a small town on a beach in Mexico and get off the radar. Honestly, who's thought that recently? Like, there's a place in La Paz, Mexico. I've researched it. It looks phenomenal. And then I get back to reality and I got wife and kids and job and I can't move to La Paz. Maybe we need to persevere through those things. So write down, what do you need to persevere in? Okay, ready? Here's where perseverance comes from. If we need to develop perseverance in our lives as followers of Jesus to get through this crazy culture, here's how we're going to develop perseverance. And I warned you, you might not like it. James chapter 1, 2 through 4, it says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Okay, go on. I'm listening. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Well, that's a bummer. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Okay, so if we're going to develop perseverance, it's going to come through trials, right? It's going to come through the trials in our lives. If you want to develop perseverance, it's going to come through trials. So if we stop there, we go, okay, well, why in the world would I want to develop perseverance? Well, we continue to read. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here's where we start to get our hint of why perseverance is so important. So if James says, consider it pure joy when you fall into trials of many kinds, when the testing of your faith produces perseverance, but then let perseverance have its perfect work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's our key to why we need perseverance. Because as followers of Jesus, it's our goal, it's our hope that at the end of this life, we look so much like Jesus that people can say, man, that person, Gabe, he represented Jesus to me. At the end of my life, I don't want someone to have me be known for my humor or my personality. I want someone to go, Gabe was as close to Jesus as I can imagine. He represented Jesus to me. And it comes through spiritual maturity of walking with Jesus, of going through hard times, that we develop perseverance. And it says, let perseverance have its perfect work so you may be mature. You may be like Jesus, not lacking anything. We're going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And this is what Romans goes on to tell you what perseverance actually produces in your life. So it goes on to say this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have access to God. We've been given faith and we can rejoice in the hope that we have. But verse 3 says, and not only that, not only can we rejoice in the hope that we have, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Would you agree with me today that in the world that we live in, we desperately need to cling on to hope? Because hope is not just something that we're wishing for. Hope is not just something that we're really desperately wanting. Hope is a confident assurance of what we know to be true. So as we look at God's word and we look at the promises that Jesus has given us, the hope that we have that those promises are true is what we hold on to. So if hope is something that we desperately need in this life to get through this life, it comes through character development, which comes through perseverance. And if we look at that for a second, we go through a trial which produces the perseverance, the ability to stick with it. That produces character in our lives. The character that we develop is the character that looks more and more like who Jesus is. As we go through those trials, we come out on the other side trusting God more. Our faith is strengthened. We're more empathetic to people that are going through those trials as well. We're able to relate and come alongside someone now and be able to go, you know what, I've gone through this. Let me come alongside you. This is our character being developed in us by going through these trials and tribulations. And maybe you're different than me. Maybe you go, you know what? I love trials. I love going through hard times. Bring it on. Let me lose my job. Let the house be taken away. Let the person leave me. I love it because I just love my character being developed. Good for you. Good for you. You know what? I don't like trials. I don't like tribulations. I like my comfort. But you want to know what I love more than my comfort? Is knowing that through a trial or tribulation, I come out looking more like Jesus. And the trial, don't like it. The result, priceless. So if it takes trials or tribulations for me to look more like Jesus, which is what I desperately want, I'll go through the trial. But I can't go through that trial alone. I can't go through that trial in my own strength and expect to come out the other side looking like Jesus. If I go through a trial on my own, in my own strength, you know what I'll come out on the other side looking like? Gabe. And I don't need to look any more like Gabe than I already do. I want to come out looking like Jesus. So if we go, okay, here's where perseverance is going to come. It's going to come through a trial. Then how do we go through that trial? How do we persevere through that trial? Today, we're going to talk about three ways that we're going to persevere through trials. And I would love for you to write these things down. And we can start to implement and apply and meditate and focus on these three things starting today. Number one, how we will persevere through trials is through the Spirit of God. So if we go back to our story in Daniel, we see that the Spirit of God played a huge part in the wisdom that Daniel and his friends had. And if we look at Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream that Daniel's able to interpret for him. It's the dream of the big statue that he builds that's gold and clay and iron and steel and all these different metals and wood and all these different things. And Daniel's able to translate that dream for him. Well, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. It's this dream of this big tree that comes up, and the tree's been cut down, and there's this band around it. And Nebuchadnezzar wakes up, and it's just troubling to him. He's like, what is this dream all about? I have to know the meaning of this dream. So we pick it up in Daniel chapter 4, and he says this, therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last, Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. Side story, Belteshazzar, his name was Daniel, which was a name that honored God, to Belteshazzar, which basically meant Satan will protect me. So Nebuchadnezzar comes in, changes his name from a name that honors his God to a name Satan will protect. How would you like it if someone every time called you, hey, Satan will protect me? Hey, come over, hey, Satan will protect me, come over here. But he says this, so he says his name, Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in him is the spirit of the holy God. So even though this guy named Dan, his name was changed to Satan will protect me, Nebuchadnezzar knew there's something different about this guy. And he says, the spirit of the holy God is in this guy. And I told him the dream, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. So he goes on to tell him the dream. And then he says this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me its interpretation. Powerful statement coming up right here. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. Can you personalize that statement for a second? You are able. Because the spirit of the holy God is in you. I don't know what trial you're going through. It's most likely not the trial of being thrown in a lion's den or a fiery furnace or bowing down to a statue. You're probably not going through that right now. But you may be going through a relationship issue and wondering, how am I going to get through this marriage? Because the spirit of the holy God is in you. How am I going to get through this anxiety that I'm facing? Because the spirit of the holy God is in you. How am I going to get through depression when I feel like I can't even get out of bed? Because the spirit of the holy God is in you. How am I going to beat this addiction? Because the spirit of the holy God is in you. And when God is in you, there's nothing that you can't do. See, the Holy Spirit living in us gives us the wisdom and the discernment and the power and the strength and the courage to get up and take a step of faith and say, I can do this because I have the spirit of the living God in me. And we look at these stories, these great and mighty men like Daniel, who stood up to this king and stood up and said, I will not do this. I will not bow. I will pray. I will stand up for my God, and was thrown into a lion's den. And we go, man, this mighty man of God that he was used so mightily. You want to know what made Daniel so mighty? The spirit of the living God living in him. And that same spirit that was in Daniel is in every believer today. Hallelujah. We are not any different. Daniel is not any different than us. We have that same spirit living in us today, giving us the strength and the power that we need. And Jesus, in John chapter 14, he's talking to his disciples and he's warning them about these end times, these crazy times that are gonna come. Things that we're experiencing today, these wars and these rumors of wars and these trials and these tribulations that are to come. And he says this, all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. See, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we come to this place in our lives where we say, I'm done living my life for myself, I'm done trying to do things my own way, I realize that my sin has separated me from a holy God, and there's nothing I can do to earn my way to him. There's nothing I can do to earn salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn heaven. I am dead in my sins, and there's nothing I can do about it, but I accept the free gift of Jesus, of what he did for me on the cross as he laid his life down for me and took on the wrath of God for me. And I accept that today. Instantly, you know what we're given? The Spirit of the Holy God. This Holy Spirit comes inside of us and he produces these fruits of the Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these things that make us more and more like Jesus. And so now, how do I get through a crazy life? How do I get through a hard day? How do I get through being patient? Because the Spirit of God is living in me and working through me and making me more like him. That passage says the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Jesus has said, which leads us to our second way that we're going to persevere through trials. If we're to be reminded of what Jesus has said, we have to know what Jesus has said, and that comes through his word. We have to have the word of God living in us. We have to have a relationship with God's word. We have to be able to know what God's word says. And Daniel and his friends knew this. And here's why we know Daniel and his friends knew the word of God. Because when they were taken from their country and taken over to Babylon, they were castrated. Now you would think that that would be something that they would fight for, that they would go, no, 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 you're not gonna do that to me. But yet they didn't. And here's my guess, is because they said, you know what? Nowhere in scripture does it say that this is sin. Now you gotta stand up for your rights. You gotta do this. Now I'm not saying, man, I would just lay that right down, right? I'd probably fight a little bit over that. But I think these guys knew, listen, this isn't something that we're willing to fight for. Nowhere in God's word does it say. Then they had their name changed to names that honored God to names that honored false gods. But they didn't fight over it. They didn't say, no, 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 you're not going to change our names. Because nowhere in Scripture does it say, if you're taken to a foreign country and they try to change your names, don't let them. So they said, okay, we're not going to fight over that. They were taken in the school of the Babylonians and taught sorcery and witchcraft and how to honor the different gods of that day and age. They learned all those things and they didn't fight up against that because nowhere in Scripture does it say, don't go to a foreign god school. But when they were placed before them, the foods that were against the dietary laws of the Israelites, they said, we can't eat that food because that's what God's word says. When they were told to bow down and worship the image and they were told only pray to Darius, they said, no, 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 we can't. God's word says to worship only him alone. See, I bet they were confused. I bet there was a lot of things going on in their minds. We're going, okay, we're having our names changed. We're having body parts taken away. We're being brainwashed. Where do we draw the line? And I can imagine, where do we draw the line? They go, let's go to God's word. Where does it say to? And that's what they stuck to. They had the word of God living in them. They knew the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is this amazing, beautiful passage about the word of God and the importance of it. And I want to read this, and I want us to look at how this plays into the world that we're living in today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Do you see this around you today? Do you see this in the culture today? I mean, I do. I see this. And there's times when I'll even struggle with some of these things myself. Like, this is all around us. We're engulfed in this kind of society. People are boastful and proud and abusive and rude and treacherous and rash and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But in verse 10, it says this, and Paul is writing this to Timothy, and he says, you, however, and I think we can apply this to our lives today, Christian, Real Life Ministries, follower of Jesus, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Here's the reality, church, is that we are going to be persecuted. Again, it might not look like a lion's den. It might not look like a fiery furnace. It might not even look like giving up our life for our faith. But you might lose a relationship over it. You might miss out on a job promotion because of it. You might not have opportunities because you're a follower of Jesus. That's persecution. How are we going to respond in those moments? You will be persecuted. But as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to what? Make you wise. The holy scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we look at that passage, if we want to have wisdom, if we want to be equipped, if we want to be wise, if we want to be able to navigate through this life, we have to know God's word. And if we have God's word in us, the Holy Spirit can remind us of what God's word says. See, you might say, I don't remember what I read. You don't have to. The Holy Spirit will remind you. Like, don't rely on your own strength. If you go, man, I just don't have any passages memorized. I'm not saying don't try to focus on memorizing God's word. I think we should. But if you're relying on your own strength to remember everything you read, you're going to fail. I don't have memorized everything that I read this morning in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. I don't have that memorized. But guess what? I know, I have faith and confidence that the Holy Spirit in me is going to bring to mind at the right time, in the right moment, the things that I've read in the past. And it's through his Holy Spirit that these scriptures are going to come alive in our life. And his word is God-breathed. And as a servant of God, I want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that comes through his word. So, scripture reminds us of how we're going to get through this life. It reminds us of the world that we live in. But guess what it also reminds us of? It reminds us of the promises of Jesus. And in a crazy, crazy world where chaos and fear and anxiety and hopelessness and helplessness seem to be all around us, guess what? I've read Matthew. I've read Thessalonians. I've read Daniel. I've read Revelation. And spoiler alert, Jesus wins and I can have hope in that. The word of God is what helps us direct our attention and focus on the Son of God, which is where I want my attention and focus to be. See, if my attention and focus is on the chaos, if it's on the craziness, if it's on the things that I don't like, if it's on the fear, guess what? If I focus on crazy, I become crazy. Right? Like, what you focus on, you're going to become, right? So I'd rather focus on Jesus and become more like Jesus than focus on crazy and become more crazy. I can do crazy. I got that down pat. I don't need any help with that. I need help becoming more like Jesus. So I need to focus on Jesus. Amen? So don't focus on Fox. Don't focus on CNN. Don't focus on Washington. Don't focus on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. Don't focus on those things. Focus on who Jesus is and become more like Jesus. Hebrews 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. If I want to focus on Jesus, I need to have his word in me. I need to know who he is. And if I want to lead my family, I have to first know who Jesus is. If I want to love my wife and my kids and lead them to Jesus, I have to first have a relationship with his word and know his word. Last year, around the end of July, I was on a vacation with my family. We were up camping in this beautiful place called Moye Springs. And it was during the time when kind of all the regulations and restrictions were coming down on churches when it came to COVID and the mask mandate and all the different things that we're going to have to do and not be able to do. And there was a lot of changes at the time. And so we're up camping, and I got away for a second while my wife and kids were playing in the park. And I got away and I went to the office there where they had some Wi-Fi, and I got on my email. I was expecting an email to kind of find out some things that were going on back here. And sure enough, one of our executive pastors sent out this email saying, here's what's going on, and here's the restrictions, and here's what they're saying we can do and can't do, and all these different things. And I remember in that moment, something switched in my head where I didn't go, oh my gosh, what's this going to mean, and how are we going to do this, and I got to get back to the church so I can just, I got to take care of that. In that moment, I just said, Lord, please give me the wisdom to do everything I can in my power to help my kids know who you are. Because to me, I don't care where my kids go to school. I don't care what sports they play. I don't care what job they have. And I don't care how much money they'll have in the bank. I care that their eternal salvation is secure in Jesus. And that's what I want to focus on. And that's what I want to lead my kids to. And I remember in that moment, it was so clear to me. I went back to the campsite and I said, babe, here's what's happening. Here's what's going on. But we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on these kids right here and helping do everything we can to help them know Jesus. And so you know what? I can't choose Jesus for my kids. I can't force them to love him. But you know what I can do? Every single night I can lay down with them. I can kneel down at the bed and we can read the Bible together. We can read scripture together. I can read the scriptures over them and I can pray over them. and we can have a conversation about who Jesus is. And I can say, Ruby, what's God doing for you? Stella, why do you love Jesus? Bo, what are you thankful for that God's done for you? And we can have these conversations. Every night we do this, and every night it just reminds me of the importance of having my kids know Jesus and to hear my now 9 and 5-year-old say, Daddy, we love Jesus because, and here's the things that Jesus has done for us, and he's our protector and provider and our creator. You couldn't offer me all the money in the world to take away those moments that I have with my kids. We need the Spirit of God in us. We need the Word of God in us. And we need, the third thing, the people of God around us. We're going to thrive in this culture. We're going to get through the crazy. We're going to have wisdom under fire because of the people of God that are all around us. We were created for relationship. We were created to be in relationship with God and with others. We need people in our lives. I need people in my life. People need me in their life. We need each other. And Daniel and his friends, they got this. They were together. They made decisions together. When there was hard things going on, they got together and they prayed. They had each other for accountability, for encouragement, for prayer. And there's things that I've gone through in my life that I just don't know how I would have gone through without the people of God coming around me and encouraging me and supporting me and loving me and praying for me. The last 2 months have been some of the hardest months for me mentally. And I don't know why, I don't know what's going on, but I've been having so much anxiety lately in my life that it's been debilitating at times. Wake up in the middle of the night, just the heart pounding, mind racing, feeling like I'm losing my mind, feeling like my heart's gonna pound out of my chest and feeling like I'm gonna die of a heart attack. And men, you know that as men, as husbands, as fathers, as leaders, we don't like to admit that we're weak. We don't like to admit that we need something. It's hard for me to even stand up here and talk about this because it's a weakness. But it's been the people in my life that I've gone to. When I go to my boss, Sam, or I go to Jim, I'm able to go to the guys in my life group, the guys in my men's group, and just go, guys, here's what I'm struggling with right now. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. I just don't know. Will you pray for me? For these guys to come around me and say, hey, man, we're so sorry that's happening. We'll pray for you. We love you. We're here for you. They don't give me any answers. They don't say, well, if you just do A, B, C, and D, you'll get E. They just say, man, we feel you. We're here for you. We love you. Care for you. Let us know if you need anything. Guys, I couldn't get through those trials without them. Couldn't get through the trials of my life without the people of God surrounding me, my wife, my boss, my pastors, my friends. I couldn't get through it. I need people in my life to be able to support me and love me. And Chris is up here and we're celebrating 11 new life groups starting, representing 170 new people. And that's awesome and that's great. But you know what? We're not celebrating 170 people. We're celebrating 170 people stepping out and saying, I will be in relationship with people. I will allow myself to be held accountable. I will hold accountable. I will do life. I will encourage. I will pray. I will walk through this life with people so that I can become more like Jesus. And so people help me in that process. See, that's what we celebrate, are the relationships being formed in those groups. Because we need each other. And if you're not in some kind of group, you're not in a men's group, a women's group, a life group, a recovery group, man, will you get in one? You getting one? You can go out in the lobby, you can fill out a card, you can get plugged into a group today. We need each other to get through the crazy. So, perseverance. A long time of being determined. How do we get it? By going through trials. How are we going to go through those trials? The Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the people of God. Why? Why? Why persevere? Well, okay, it develops your character, which character degrees. Okay, I get that, but why? I love how God, when he asks us to do something, there's always a blessing. There's always a promise attached. God doesn't just say, shut up and go through it because I told you. He's a good father, and he wants to give his kids good gifts, good things. Why persevere? Because persevering comes with a promise. It comes with a blessing. Matthew chapter 24, 13, it says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. Galatians 6:9, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. 1 Peter 1:6-7, for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you so that the provenness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So according to scripture, if I persevere through hardships, if I go through trials and tribulations, if I go through those things, I can look forward to salvation, royalty, blessings, praise, glory, and honor. Sign me up. Sign me up for that. God has a blessing attached. You're not going through those trials and tribulations for no reason whatsoever. You're not going through them for absolutely no purpose. There's a purpose in it. There's also a blessing at the end of it. But here's another reason why we need to persevere. Persevering isn't just for us and our blessings. Persevering is for other people as well. The world needs us to persevere. Church, if we as the church, as the bride of Christ, the body of Jesus, if we can't go through a hard time and persevere through it, the world is hopeless. The world's looking at us. How are they gonna go through those hard times? We aren't looking at the world and going, how's the world gonna get through that hardship? They're gonna get through it by being crazy. Right, we're gonna get through it because we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Word of God filling our minds, and the people of God around us encouraging us and supporting us. We have to get through it for people's sake. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, towards the end of his life, he finds himself in jail. Why? For being a follower of Jesus. For preaching the Word of God and doing it relentlessly, persevering. He finds himself in a jail cell and he writes this: I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. Who's feeling that right there? Like, who's going, I'd like to go home and be with Jesus right now? Like, take me out of the crazy, like, let me go home and be with Jesus. I'm feeling that, right? I'd like that. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. See, Paul says, you want to know why I'm going to persevere? It's not because I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. The reason I'm going to persevere is because you need me. And church, there's people that need you. Your neighbor, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your friend, your coworker. The person that you maybe have never met before, they need you to stay in the fight, to keep going, to press on, to persevere. At the beginning of this message, I read James chapter 1, and this is where trials come from, right? So consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you fall into trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance have its perfect work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 5, I love. And this is a free gift that Paul gives us. That's a nugget that you need to take home today and start to implement today. Verse 5, attached to the trials of life, says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, who lacks wisdom here? Okay, we've got a lot of wise people in the room. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Every day I start out my day by asking God for wisdom because I need wisdom to lead and to love my wife and kids. I need wisdom to lead the ministry that God's given me to lead. I need wisdom to make the right decisions that God's given me to make. I need his wisdom. If I try to lead and love my wife on my own strength, I'll fail. I try to lead my ministry on my own strength, I'll fail. I try to make the decisions in my own strength, I'll fail. But if I have the wisdom of God that I pray for every single day, first of all, I know he'll give it to me, and I know I can't fail because the God that lives inside of me will provide for me, will protect me, and will give me the wisdom I need to make the decisions that I need to make. If you need wisdom, ask God. You can start today. You could start right now. You can say, God, give me wisdom. In the situation that you brought into this room today, that you don't know how you're going to get out of, you don't know what you're going to do, you don't know what decision you're going to make, God, will you give me wisdom? And he'll give it to you. I can't tell you how. I can't tell you when, but I can tell you he will, because he promises he will. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul says, "As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Christian, you have the peace of God living in you. You have the strength of God living in you. You have the wisdom of God living in you. You have all you. Scripture says we've been given everything we need to live a life of godliness through Christ Jesus. I think that everything we need is his spirit, his word, and his people. We have what we need. You can persevere. You can get through it. You can make it. You can endure. You can. If you're not a Christian in this room today, man, I pray that today is the day of salvation for you. I pray that today is the day that you leave here with the Spirit of God. You can leave here with the Spirit of God in you today. You can leave here with the peace that God offers. My question for you is this: the world's crazy. How are you going to get through it? How are you going to get through a crazy world without the peace of God living in you? Today, we're going to have prayer partners up here that would love to pray for you. We would love to be able to have a conversation with you about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to die to yourself and start living for him, what it means to finally come to this place in your life where you go, man, I can't get through this anymore. I can't do this on my own. I've tried. It doesn't work. I need Jesus. We would love to have that conversation. Come talk to the people up here. Come talk to myself. Come talk to a pastor. Come just find someone here and just go, hey, do you love Jesus and you have a relationship with him? If they say yes, just say, help me. We'd love to talk to you about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. Thank you for giving us wisdom, for giving us strength, for giving us power. Thank you for giving everything that we need to live a life of godliness. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit that you've sent in our lives. Thank you for your word that points us back to you. Thank you for the people that you've surrounded us with. And God, I pray that right now in this moment that you would give us the wisdom we need to navigate through the crazy culture that we're in, to be able to go through life with hope, with character development, with the perseverance that we need to live this life for you, to point other people to you, Jesus. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.